الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين صدق الله العظيم وقد قال الله تعالى كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله صدق الله العظيم علماء الكرام respected brothers and sisters at the madrasa wherever we go we hear about the problems of the Muslim Ummah. Any town, any city, any country you go, you will hear about Iraq, you will hear about Palestine, you will hear about Bosnia, you will hear about Chechnya, and you will hear about Kashmir, and so many other Muslim countries. We will hear about the problems that the Muslims are facing, the difficulties that they are facing. So what is the cause? We have discussed the cause many times and the solution many times. In tonight's majlis, we will discuss something that Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzoob Rahmatullah Alayh has mentioned in his beautiful poetry. Poetry has been the weapon of the poets. People have been encouraged to participate in jihad and to give their lives by verses of poetry that were recited. From the time of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this has come down. Sometimes in just one verse or a couplet, such a message is given that you can write a whole volume on it. So let us see what he has to say, addressing the Muslim Ummah. Now he is talking about his time some 50 years ago, the suffering that the Muslims were going through in India. That is the time that he mentioned these verses. Because the Muslims were losing their identity very, very fast and very, very quickly. And they were in a dilemma which side to join. The Congress was inviting towards their party. The Muslim League was calling towards their side. And at that time there was so much of killing and murders and division and disunity and fights. So at that time he mentioned these verses. It's a lengthy thing, but we will just discuss here and there some of the verses. If it can change our lives, alhamdulillah.
تمہارے گھر میں چوروں نے لگائی ہے نقب جاگو تمہارے گھر میں چوروں نے لقب تمہارے گھر میں چوروں نے لگائی ہے نقب جاگو تمہارا یہ لیے جاتے ہیں مال اسباب سب جاگو تمہارا یہ لیے جاتے ہیں مال اسباب سب جاگو پڑے ہو اب بھی غافل پڑے ہو اب بھی غافل کر رہے ہو کیا غضب جاگو پڑے ہو اب بھی غافل کر رہے ہو کیا غضب جاگو بہت سوئے بہت سوئے بس اب جاگو بس اب جاگو بہت سوئے بہت سوئے بس اب جاگو بس اب جاگو مسلمانوں اٹھو بہرے عمل تیار ہو جاؤ، مسلمانوں اٹھو بہرے عمل تیار ہو جاؤ، نہیں یہ وقت غفلت کا بس اب بیدار ہو جاؤ، نہیں یہ وقت غفلت کا بس اب بیدار ہو جاؤ، نہیں یہ وقت غفلت کا بس اب بیدار ہو جاؤ.
Just this one is sufficient for a lesson. He says, تمہارے گھر میں چوروں نے نقب لگائی ہے، تمہارے گھر میں چوروں نے لگائی ہے نقب، جاگو. تمہارا یہ لیے جاتے ہیں مال اسباب سب، جاگو. The thieves have already made a hole in the wall of your home. They've already made a hole in the wall of your home to enter. In fact, they have entered and they are taking your goods, they are taking your possessions, they are taking your gold and silver, they are taking your diamonds and pearls. Get up, get up. پڑے ہو اب بھی غافل کر رہے ہو کیا غضب، جاگو. Are you still going to sleep indifferent to what is happening around you? You are aware, you know that they have come into your home. You know that they are stealing your wealth and your property. You know that they are taking away your hard-earned money and possessions. بہت سوئے بہت سوئے، بس اب جاگو بس اب جاگو. You have slept far too long, you have slept far too long. Now get up, now get up. Oh you Muslims, get ready for action now. Get ready for action. This is not the time of indifference. This is not the time of negligence. This is not the time that you say that it is happening somewhere else. It is not going to happen to me. I am not being faced with this problem. You too are being faced with the problem. So get up and get ready for action, because far too long have you slept. Of course, when I am saying you, I am just translating or just giving you the meaning of what the Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has said here, but I include myself. That all of us, we are being addressed, that far too long we have slept, indifferent to what is happening around us. The enemies have entered our homes, the thieves have entered our homes, and they are stealing our very valuable property. They are taking away our valuable possessions. And we know that they have entered. We are hearing them, we are seeing them. We are seeing them packing everything in the bags. And we have an alarm system too. We have our guns too. We have every means of protection and defense too. But we are not making use of anything. Neither are we pressing the alarm button, nor are we making a noise so that they run away, nor are we making a telephone call to anyone. We are unconcerned, just sleeping and enjoying what is happening around us in the home. The message is very loud and clear. We all know what that property is. We all know what that gold and silver is. We know what those diamonds, pearls and emeralds are. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed us with Iman. He blessed us with Islam. Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam sacrificed so much so that he may leave behind for us an example. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's actions, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's amal, his deeds, Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam's teachings, everything we have with us. The Quran Sharif is covered in beautiful cover and it is there on the shelves. It has got all the ahkam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The cultural style and life of the Muslim, we know very well what it is. The enemies have entered, the thieves have entered, and they are stealing, they are stealing. How they are stealing, we all know. In his time, there was no television. In our time, we know exactly how they are stealing. They have entered our homes via the radio, via the television, and via the literature that is coming. They have entered our homes, and they are stealing from that wealth of Iman. They are stealing from that wealth of Islam. They are stealing from that wealth of actions and deeds. Namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, zikr, tilawat, ibadat, muasharat, akhlaq, our dealings, our etiquettes, everything has been affected. Nothing is left. They have stolen it such a way, so subtly and so cleverly and so discreetly. They have deceived us. They have kept us sleeping and watching, and we do not know what is gone from our hearts. We do not know what is gone from our lives. We do not realize what is gone from our children's lives. And we are quite happy, we are quite satisfied. Brothers, what it has done, we read the newspapers, and many people listen or watch the news on the television, and they know exactly what is happening. In fact, they should be far more conscious of what is happening. How shocking when we are here. And this is why the fuqaha and the jurists, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala filled their graves with noor.
Ameen, ameen.
What they said years ago, we felt that they were narrow-minded. We thought they were narrow-minded. That certain masail, when Shariat says that certain things are permissible, then they must be narrow-minded, that they are making certain things not permissible. For example, it is permissible for a woman to go for Hajj with her father-in-law. It's permissible. It's permissible for a woman to go for Hajj with her brother, with her uncle, with her nephew. But the jurist declared that if that nephew, if that father-in-law, if that uncle, if their character is bad, if they do not have good morals, and they are known to be fasiqs, there is no namaz, no roza, no zakat, no hajj, they are only gentlemen. Na namaz hai, na roza, na zakat hai, na hajj. Na namaz hai, na roza, na zakat hai, na hajj. To khushi phir iski kya hai, ke koi gent hai, to koi judge. Ha, Akbar Allah Abadi. He says it would have given us great pleasure and happiness if that person was a Muslim judge. If he was a Muslim first and a judge after that. If he was a Muslim first and a minister after that. If he was a Muslim first and a gentleman after that. But if he's just a judge, if he's just a person with degrees and qualifications, then what happiness does it give us if there's no namaz, roza, zakat, hajj in his life? In other words, if there's no Islam in his life, then what happiness does it give us? No happiness. Because that person is far more dangerous for the Muslims and the Muslim ummah than even that person who is not educated. This person is far more dangerous. In fact, in Saudi Arabia, in Tunisia, and so many other countries, it's those people that went to America and Europe and England, and they qualified, and they got high degrees and qualifications, and they did their PhDs. When they came back, they were the ones to influence the whole system. And they are saying, do away with this law, do away with this law. All these Islamic laws, na'uzubillah, are barbaric, do away with it. So he says, khushi phir iski kya hai, ke koi gent hai to koi judge. Yes, if that person was a Muslim, in actions is Muslim, in behavior is a Muslim, qawl mein, fail mein, chal mein, dal mein, har cheez ke andar, if he is a Muslim first, then it gives us great pleasure that this person, mashallah, his qualifications are very useful. He is an asset to the community. So he is an asset to the community if he is a Muslim first. If he behaves, acts like a Muslim, and he emulates the beautiful lifestyle of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he tries to implement the teachings of deen and sharia in his life, and if Allah ta'ala has given him authority and power in government, then he tries to implement it in the country, then that person is an asset. He's an asset to the Muslim community. And if he is not that, and if he becomes the obstacle, then he is not an asset, he is an ass, A-S-S, a mule, a donkey. So he says, they have entered your homes, they are stealing, get up, how long are you going to sleep? How long are we going to sleep? We know what is happening. I was mentioning about the jurists, I nearly slip up. So the jurists, when they said that when a person hasn't got akhlaq, he hasn't got morals, he hasn't got fear of Allah, he has got no khawf of khuda, and he is known to be a fasiq, an open transgressor, then although he is a brother, he is a nephew, he is an uncle, he may be a father-in-law, but this trip is not permissible. So we thought that they were narrow-minded. Until in the past 2 years, I'm sitting in the masjid. In the past 2 years, Allah Ta'ala make us maaf. How many cases we are hearing now of father-in-laws interfering with their daughter-in-laws. Fathers with their daughters, and it is all the effect of the same Dajjal that we have got in our homes, because most of the cases, the incitement of passions came while they were watching the television. So how long are we going to sleep after we are seeing this before our very eyes? And then they say the Islamic law is very difficult and we are suffering. One person actually told me this last week on the telephone, because there was a divorce case. One husband had divorced his wife. He gave her 3 talaqs without following the proper Islamic procedure. He didn't try the methods of reconciliation and everything, and he fired the bullets of talaq. So now that woman definitely is going to suffer. The children are going to suffer. We fully agree that they are going to suffer. But then for this person to make a statement, because he said that what, it is no fault of the wife, and why should she suffer now? So he said, nobody can do anything. All the muftis of the world can't do anything. The husband knows that 3 talaqs are 3. Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Abu Hanifa, all are unanimous, consensus, that 3 is 3. If the government says that you are allowed 3 bullets, and you must fire them, one this week, one next week, one the third week, and somebody uses all 3 bullets one time, then that is the end of the bullets. So Sharia tells us how to go about if there is a dispute between husband and wife. But if some husband, due to his own stupidity and foolishness, has to fire those bullets, so we don't blame Sharia for that. That person should have been tolerant, he should have been understandable, he should have followed the Sharia. So now this person says that shows that the laws of Islam are terrible. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. This is what I'm saying, the thieves are stealing from our homes. We do not even know when that iman has left our hearts and gone. After making a statement of this kind, that the laws of Islam are terrible, can a person be a Muslim? No. But yet that person will be recognized as a Muslim in the society, and if he is a trustee of an organization, then he will still be given that high position and that honor. And he made this statement. So I explained to him, of course I was trying to explain to him, that even if you have to take the courts of law, I don't disagree that the wife is going to suffer, the children are going to suffer because of this person's stupidity and foolishness. But if a person has committed murder, now he is arrested and either he is imprisoned for life or capital punishment, his neck is taken off. So if everyone goes to court and says that I have got 4 children, 5 children, and the wife and children are going to suffer, so therefore I should be released. Wow. So there's no need for those courts after that, and there's no need for those prisons, because most of those people who are in prison there, they've got children, they've got wives, and they are suffering. So now, did we ever hear that the judge said, well, all those who have got 2-3 children, you can commit any amount of murders, but don't worry, because your children are going to suffer, the wife is going to suffer innocently, so therefore you will be released. Jao, sab jao. So we must understand that those women and those children, for their patience, the sabr that they will have to exercise, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give them plenty of rewards in this world, in the akhirat. But that husband is not going to be released or dismissed, the case dismissed just because he's got children. So in the same way here, why don't you want to accept it here? When we are prepared to accept the courts of law of this world, then Allah Ta'ala's hukam, that is the only place we think Islam is difficult. Why is it that only when it's an Islamic law, then that time it's difficult and it's terrible, na'uzubillah. But when it comes to the other laws, every day we are accepting it. And we are not complaining. Nobody has made a complaint. Nobody has raised a voice. So this is what we are getting at. Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi is telling us that get up now. It's far too long that you have slept. The thieves have entered. That the ideology has affected you. Different ideologies have come into your lives. You have become affected by the literature that you are reading, by the pictures that you are seeing, and by the stories that you are listening to. All those things are affecting you, and they are stealing from you. They have taken away so much. How long are you going to sleep now?
Kabhi wo waqt bhi tha jab ye tha sara diyar apna. Kabhi wo waqt bhi tha jab ye tha sara diyar apna. Kisi shay par magar baqi nahi ab ikhtiyar apna. Ye ab ghairon ka hai bilkul kahi humko hazar apna. Ye ab ghairon ka hai bilkul kahe hum go hazar apna. Saza uski hai kyun choda wo islami shiar apna. Musalmano utho bahre amal tayyar ho jao. Nahi ye waqt ghaflat ka bas ab bedar ho jao.
Says there was a time, oh you Muslim brothers, when the whole world was yours. When they heard of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, the emperors, they shivered. From a distance, just the name was sufficient to make them shiver. The Muslim Ummah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, was giving them victory, success. They were going through Europe and going through Africa and going through the all parts of the world. And wherever they went, Allah ta'ala's nusrat and help and assistance was with them, even though they may have been in the minority. Even though they had very little arms and equipment, but Allah Ta'ala was with them, and if Allah is with, then there's victory. But at present, he says, no matter how much you say, ke apna hai, ye mulk hamara hai, Pakistan hamara hai, Kashmir hamara hai, Palestine hamara hai, Saudi Arab hamara hai, no matter how much you say that it is ours, it is ours, it is ours, lekin kisi shay par nahi baqi. You have got nothing, no control over anything. Kisi shay par magar baqi nahi ab ikhtiyar apna. Nothing is in your control. What do we really have in our control in all these countries? The military is not in their control. The arms and ammunition is all purchased from those same countries that are their enemies. The satellites, everything installed by those same enemies of Islam. Every movement is controlled from the outside. Like puppets, we dance to their tune. Then what is ours? What is left as ours? Nothing. What is only left are those crowns and those chairs or those thrones. But that too, it's all very shaky. Whenever America or the enemies of Islam want, they can topple the person and put somebody else in his place. The moment he starts talking about Islam, the moment he says that I want Islam in my country, then he becomes a fundamentalist ruler, and then he must be toppled, mustn't be tolerated. So he says, there was a time when even though you may not have been rulers over those countries, but those countries were yours. But now even though you are rulers over countries, and you've got plentiful, you can have all the oil wells of the world, and you can be the most powerful nation as far as economy is concerned, but still you are helpless, nothing. You have got control over nothing. The control of your culture is coming from the outside. The control of your education from the outside. the control of everything, your economy from the outside. Your enemies are controlling everything. Then what is yours? What is yours? But then how long are you going to remain asleep? The sensible person will say, I must get up now. It's too long that I have remained asleep. Life is running out. Just now I will be left with nothing. I must at least make some noise, some movement, some action. Therefore he says, oh you Muslims, get up from this sleep now. Get up from the sleep. And get ready for action. Too much of words, words and words. Speeches, speeches and speeches. Volumes and volumes are written. Unity of Muslims and economy of Muslims and social life of Muslims and culture of Muslims and so many books are written. Volumes are written. Encyclopedias are written. But when will all that come into our lives? There was a time when that Muslim, he didn't have to say, "Bhai, please read in the books what Islam is." In his actions they used to read Islam. What is Islam? You have to see in the actions of the people. Now we have separated the two. The books have got what we term as the actions, and in our lives we have got nothing but the knowledge. So this is now, he says, becoming too late. It's becoming too late, and we have realized that it is too late. But still we do not want to get up. Still we say, what about our entertainment? What about our pleasures? We know that the military, their leave and everything is dictated by the need of the time. If there is a war on, then at that time if all the military personnel say that I want to go and visit my mother-in-law and sister-in-law and father-in-law, or I want to go for a holiday, I want to have a little break now, I'm tired, then they will be kicked and booted because there's a genuine need, there's a war that's on. At that time all leave is cancelled. So he's saying, oh you Muslims, now your leave must be cancelled now. The time has come now to get up and start action. Give up those sins in your lives which are bringing about ruin. Because that is the declaration of the Quran Sharif, that when sins are committed, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sends down azab. Now if you want to remove that azab, whether that azab is economic domination or military domination or cultural domination or educational domination, whatever kind of domination of the enemies is on us, the major cause of that is the sins that we are committing, unconcerned, indifferent. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala hasn't got a system that He created the universe, He created man, and then he went to sleep. Allah Ta'ala has got a system that is in operation, that if you do this, then I will do this. Both parties have got a contract. We have to fulfill our side of the contract. If we get into action, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will open the doors of His mercy, of His forgiveness, of His rahmat, of His blessings, and Allah Ta'ala will pour down into our laps His ni'mats as He poured upon those before us. His rahmat and His blessings will know no bounds. Even though we may be in minority, even though we may have very little arms and ammunition, even though we may have very little in the way of scientific and technological means, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, with what little we have when we are going to go, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give us victory. And Allah Ta'ala showed it in Afghanistan. What did those mujahideen have? But when they were determined that whatever America says, we are not concerned. If they don't like it, they can go to hell. But we are going to implement Islamic laws. And when they themselves became practical, and then they went into action, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave them control over 80% of Afghanistan. It was not easy to remove those monkeys from Kabul, from those enemies of Islam. To remove them from Kabul was not an easy thing. To get them out of those 80%, it was not an easy thing. And to close down those cinemas and those theaters and those clubhouses and the gambling dens and all the porn that was flooding there, it was not an easy thing. It was the help of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, because they showed determination. So all the time just complaining about what is happening outside. What about the thieves that are stealing within our own homes? The thieves have entered our homes. They are stealing our culture. They are stealing our Islam. They are stealing our Iman. They are taking away our morals, our akhlaq, our shame, haya and modesty. Everything has been stolen. There is nothing left now. And still we are just concerned. We say, there it's happening, 10,000 miles away. MashaAllah, we must show concern. But when are we going to clean up our homes? Are we going to wait for those same filthy things to happen in our homes? Are we going to wait for our sons to do those filthy things that we are hearing of every day now? Are we going to wait for our daughters to say those things which these people are saying, whose culture is gone, that Islamic laws are very terrible? Are we going to wait for that time to come, then we're going to get up? Brothers, there is no time. If we are going to remain asleep, then tears of blood too, one day will be too late.
Tumhara har naye daure hukumat mein badal jana, tumhara har naye daure hukumat mein badal jana, نمونہ ہو کے بھی ہر قوم کے سانچے میں ڈھل جانا, تمہارا ہر نئے دور حکومت میں بدل جانا, نمونہ ہو کے بھی ہر قوم کے سانچے میں ڈھل جانا, رہے حق میں بتوں کے حسن ظاہر پر پھسل جانا, جدھر چلنا حدود شرع سے باہر نکل جانا, مسلمانوں اٹھو بہر عمل تیار ہو جاؤ, نہیں یہ وقت غفلت کا بس اب بیدار ہو جاؤ, تمہارا ہر نئے دور حکومت میں بدل جانا, نمونہ ہو کے بھی ہر قوم کے سانچے میں ڈل جانا. اس لیے او مسلمز, you were examples for others to follow. You were not the one that was to follow others. Allah Ta'ala made you the examples. You were supposed to get up all the sleeping ones. You were supposed to get up the sleeping ones and make them come into action. Not that you follow blindly what others dictate and what others do. That is what you were supposed to do. But he says, unfortunately, your condition is this. Khwaja Sahib is complaining of our condition, that whenever a new government comes, then you change according to the times, according to the government of the time, you also change. Namuna ho ke bhi har qaum ke sanche mein dal jana. Any nation that comes and takes over, then you change according to that. When the British came to India, then you became British. Everybody became English. Now the Englishman in the train, where there was one Englishman traveling and one simple ordinary Muslim like us. So the English, they drink a lot of beer, brandy, wine, so they've got a lot of heat in their body. So when the tea came, so he put ice in the tea. Cold weather, it was cold weather, but he put ice in the tea. Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Rahmatullah Ali was also in the same compartment. So when this Englishman from the flask took out ice and put in his tea, and in fact that is how we got what we call iced tea. In India you get iced tea. So first we were wondering, tea should be drunk hot. Now what is this iced tea? So cold weather, but the Englishman took ice and put inside the tea and he drank. Now this person didn't even have warm clothes, cold weather, and it's very cold in the UP area, Delhi and places on the north. So just because this person was working in the same department as this British, the British was his senior, so to please him and to emulate and to follow his example, he also asked for ice and put in his tea and he drank.
Now after drinking he starts shivering. So Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi said, "Is bewakuf ko kya zarurat thi barf dalne ki?" This person, because he drinks a lot of wine, brandy and all that, if he put ice, but now was it necessary that even in that you must emulate and follow? So whatever they did, if they start shaving their beards and they came out with new kinds of razor blades and they advertised it, that gives you a clean shave, one coat, two coat, and as my sheikh says, uske baad khonti tok, that you just scrape your skin off too. So he says that this, when they started doing, then we also started following. They started standing and urinating and built toilets of that kind, then we followed suit. Every way that you go, you'll find emulation of the actions of the British. Every way in India you go, this is what we found. So Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is complaining of that. That how can you just change according to the time? In our country now, South Africa, the same thing has happened. Democracy came. What democracy brought? It brought nothing but mockery. Everywhere there is nothing but shamelessness, behayai, immodesty. They had legalized every kind of filth that you can think of. So now the government didn't force any Muslim that we are legalizing prostitution, we are legalizing dancing with the opposite sex and freedom to indulge in abortion, homosexuality, all kinds of filth, all legalized. So now it is compulsory for all Muslims to follow suit. Did it say anywhere?
No.
It didn't say anywhere. For the Muslims, was it necessary to then chase and run to those gambling dens and run to those clubhouses and run to those cinemas and theaters which had now become open and free for all? Or to run to those escort agencies? Na'uzu billahi min zalik. So this is what he is complaining, that what kind of Muslims we are, that we are unconcerned about Islam, about the Quran, about the Sunnah, about the Sharia. We just wait for government legislation. Anything that our nafs desires, if the government has legalized it, then we change our condition. We become like them. So he says, get up now. How long are you going to change like the chameleon? That every time that something changes, the government changes, that you too change. Whereas what you should be doing is showing the people of the time that this is what Islam is, and we will remain on this lifestyle no matter how many governments change, no matter which party comes into power, but we will not change. Islam will not leave our lives. We will project Islam in our lives, in our actions, in everything that we do. So that is what should have been our condition. So therefore he says that don't just cross the borders of Islam every time that a new government comes. Allah Ta'ala has laid down hudud. He has given us borders. Tilka hududullah. So don't go even close to those borders. فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا, as Mawlana recited. That don't even go close. These are the borders. If you're going to go very close to it, then you may go across it. The animal which comes and grazes right on the boundary, and if there's no fence there, then it will go and graze in the other person's land also. You can't tell that animal that right now this is the line, now you stop exactly here because this is the boundary. You will keep that animal away from there, because it is going to go across. The nafs is worse than all the animals. Nafs and shaitan are with us. And when you are going to go close, then it is going to put us into the trap. As it is, we are caught in so many different traps and so many different webs. So many different nets. East net, west net, north net, south net, shaitan's net, all kinds of net we are trapped in. And so many different kinds of webs on the computer even now, on the internet, even there's a net. So we are getting trapped in so many different kinds of nets and webs. It is time that we get up. It is time that we get up, brothers and my sisters at the madrasa. I am telling you with deep-hearted pain. I am telling you, brothers and sisters, that if we do not get up, then it may be too late for us. The type of cases that we are handling now, unheard of. Our great grandparents, if they had heard of this, or grandparents, if they had heard of this incident, they would have committed suicide. In those days, incidents like this, if they were heard, they would have committed suicide. They said, it's not worth living on the earth anymore. And these things are not happening in the homes of those who are far away from Deen and Islam. I'm not talking about those people. Those people, you must make a lot of dua, Allah Ta'ala bring them closer to the Deen.
Amen.
But I am talking about people like us who have got some Deen in our lives. We come to the masjids, we read tasbih, we make zikr, we make tilawat, and we do other deeni work and activities. We go out in jamaat and in gush and in taleem. I am talking about our homes. That these statements are coming out from our homes. And these filthy actions are happening in our homes. So don't think that we are quite secure. If we want to carry on giving this poison to our children, to our wives, and to our young boys and girls, and leave young boys and girls, even ourselves, if we want to take this poison, then we have nobody else to blame but ourselves. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must protect us.
Amen.
Allah ta'ala must safeguard us. Amen. The fitnas are lashing from all sides. It's raining, it's pouring. It's no more drizzling, it's pouring. We are becoming drenched in the fitnas, and yet we are not realizing what we are heading for. Brothers, these majlises are for this one purpose only, that to encourage you and to encourage myself to come out of these filthy habits of ours, our lifestyles, those trends which we have adopted of our enemies, then to make sincere tawbah. Let the day come for that sincere tawbah. Become like lions against our nafs and against shaitan.
Amen.
We are lions when it comes to our own personal reputation and prestige and honor. If somebody has to sway us, then that time we become lions. We want to take revenge. If the wife has to just say something, then we are lions and we want to show our strength. Where is this lion gone? Where is the roar of this lion gone when it comes to these thieves stealing from us? Our Islam, our Iman, our culture, our Islamic education, all these things, when they are stealing, then where is this roar of the lion gone? Why do we become like foxes at that time? Brothers, it's not difficult. It's not difficult. There are many young friends here. They will tell you that what they were indulging in at one time, and how they have given up with the barakat of these majlises and zikr programs, etc. So many are writing and so many are telling me from different areas. The tapes have reached West Indies, it has reached Singapore, it has reached England. It has reached so many places with the fazal of Allah and the karam and ihsan of Allah. I can't imagine. People are phoning from Singapore. One person phones regularly and is asking me simple maslas over the telephone, which he can find out from somebody that side. I'm telling him it's going to cost you money, so you're asking these simple maslas and so long you are speaking. He says, no, I received your tapes via some friend of mine, and he gave me a whole long story. And he says that I've benefited so much, I've given up my bad habits, and I've made tawbah and istighfar, and I want to change my life. How fortunate those people are who are there right next to you. I wish I was there. Now he's saying this. Another person also from Singapore, same kind of story. Then from the West Indies, some person by the name of Saeedur Rahman, he says, Maulana, when can you come to West Indies? We received your tapes via some friends, we don't know how it came. And after listening to it, he says, I get my friends together, young friends, and you will be surprised that after listening to that zikr on the tape, the changes that it has brought in our lives. We are getting closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We wish that we could be right there. A lady writes from London, lengthy letter, in which he says that you do not know how much we have benefited from those tapes that we have received. It's so difficult to get your tapes. If only you can have somebody in England also supplying it, because I have by-hearted, I've heard your tapes so much, those few that I have, that I have virtually by-hearted some of those talks. And you will be surprised the changes that it has brought in my life and in the life of my family, just listening to those tapes. Brothers, I'm only telling you this, not out of fakhr, not out of pride. Allah Ta'ala must protect me from fakhr and pride. But why I mention this is for one reason only, and that is that if we who are here are not going to benefit, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is going to make somebody else benefit thousands of miles away. And they will change, they will benefit, they will change, they will get the closeness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they will get peace of mind, they will get contentment, they will get satisfaction, they will get that noor in their hearts, which I think 1001 times we have heard now. Shahon ke saro par taj gira se dard sa aksar rehta hai. Shahon ke saro par taj gira se dard sa aksar rehta hai. اور اہل وفا کے سینوں میں ایک نور کا دریا بہتا ہے. If only we can get that ocean of noor in our hearts. I don't have it, I'm trying to get it. If only we can get that ocean of noor in our hearts, then see what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, what happiness inside He will give us. Outside there can be any kind of condition, but inside the heart, the person is always with Allah. Wherever he is with Allah. Whatever happens, he says, it is happening with the will of my Mawla, with the will of my Allah. So how can that person ever have depression? Yes, what causes us problem is stress. When we listen to all these type of cases and deal with these type of cases, it's stress that gets us. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq to make amal.
Amen.
And may give us all the tawfiq to listen carefully to Hazrat Shah Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzub Rahmatullah Alayh. And get up. He is telling us, please get up. It's too late. Get up. So let us make that himmat that, Ya Allah, we are making a niyat. That Amen. As from today, when we go back, then from our homes, we will get rid of all that is which is destroying our iman, our culture, our morals, our behavior, our akhlaq, and which is taking our children to the drugs and to the drink and to the gambling and to the wine and to the women. Ya Allah, we will try and get rid of that. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين إن شاء الله we'll continue next week. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما, ہماری خطاؤں کو معاف فرما, ہمارے ظاہر اور باطن کو درست فرما. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Brothers, besides the other in'ams and ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, one reason that I find this thing becoming so acceptable even going in the other parts of the world, just for my friends, is that alhamdulillah, no matter how much my brothers tell me we sold so many thousand rand worth of tapes, or somebody says that we made so many copies and distributed here and there, it makes me happy. Never does the thought come into my mind that I wish I made a few cents from that tape.
MashaAllah.
Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must give me ikhlas and sincerity.
Ameen.
Because if He is providing in ways that are unique, then why should we chase after such earnings? There's nothing wrong, it's not haram or anything. If somebody is making money from the sale of his tapes, it's good. If it is halal risk and sustenance. But what I am saying is that the acceptance and maqbooliyat sometimes Allah Ta'ala gives for various reasons. May Allah Ta'ala bless us all.